I don't care if you're a Tigers fan or not.
That's
this,
just good.
This 2010 pump up that they played at the intro of the season, that'll get you going.
Well, we're rooting for your home team as well, whoever it may be.
Unless they're playing us now.
We want to make sure your home is ready for every tailgate party you may be throwing this year. And one of the topics we're talking about today is flooring, how to know the right flooring. We have a special guest here in studio, Mr. Vaughn Payne, joining us here at Rosie on the House. If you have a question about anything having to do with flooring, give us a ring. The number is 1-888-767-4348. And Vaughn, I'm asked all the time when we're going into a remodeling project for a client, and where do I start? Do I pick the cabinet first, or do I pick the floor first, or do I pick the countertop first? What drives what? Where's the first place I should be looking to make my selection?
In my opinion, I would focus on the floors, because those will last you as long as cabinets most of the times. But cabinets and flooring usually go together. Countertops should be an accessory or an after-the-fact idea there. And so we tell people to consider your budget, consider the use of your house, how much traffic it gets, because I'll give you the best comparison. My sister in the mid-80s came to me, and she lives in Tempe, and she said, Vaughn, find me the perfect floor for my house. And I sat for a bit and then chuckled and laughed, and I said, Carolyn, when I find the perfect floor, you'll read about me in Forbes magazine. I'll be a zillionaire. Because every house and every family has sometimes a different need. And, you know, some homes' budget is driving it, and so laminate floors, for example, are a reasonable value. To me, the very best value on the market today is engineered wood.
Well, let's talk a little bit about pricing, because that's the only thing we haven't really talked about on this topic. We took the call earlier from Eric that was laying a laminate floor. Mm-hmm. I've talked to a lot of people who have tackled it themselves, and it really is the entry level point for wood simulation.
Certainly,
it's not
certainly
wood.
Yeah, it's a step above step above vinyl, about parallel price wise to ceramic tile in most cases.
Okay,
and dollars and cents wise, a laminate floor you can install for roughly $4 to $5 a square foot.
Okay.
You can upgrade. We see a lot of thicker 12-millimeter laminate floors used nowadays, which works out to be a half-inch thick. And so roughly those are in the $5 to $5.50 a square foot range for material, the cushion, the upgraded laminate.
The
cushion.
Actual laminate wood product is a half-inch.
Can be.
Okay.
Some of the big boxes sell a product as thin as a quarter inch, or what they call 6 millimeter, 7 millimeter. That's awfully thin. I'm much more comfortable using a 12 millimeter because it's more substantial. It's quieter to walk on. It also has a thicker tongue and groove locking system, so it's not going to pull apart or separate nearly as quickly. And like Romy said earlier, you will get what you pay for.
You will get what you pay for. And you know, the padding is another place that a lot of people cut a lot of corners.
You see a lot of it, and there's introductions for inexpensive pad for 10, 15, 20 cents a square foot. And again, it is more, we call it packing material than designed to be on a floor. The best cushion we recommend sells for about 50 cents a square foot installed, and it's called an acoustic 3 millimeter closed cell urethane, and it is dramatically quieter.
And on laminate flooring, acoustic is important. It is a loud floor.
It's probably,
it's hollow loud.
It's somewhat like when people said back in the day, I'm going to buy a good grade of pad and an average grade carpet. The same could be said of laminate floors. A good cushion will keep your floor quieter, without a doubt.
So you're down around $4, $5, $6 a foot. Okay.
Right.
Then now on the very opposite end of the spectrum, what we were talking about last hour, the plank, sand and finish, conventional, installed, mm-hmm. sits at where?
$13 to $15 a square foot with the subfloor, sand, stain, and finish. And then the one thing that everybody needs to remember is that on every wood floor, whether it's engineered or laminate, you either need to put a quarter round on the perimeter of the rooms and sometimes in the doorways, or you need to put a new baseboard sitting on top of it to allow for expansion, because every floor, even glued down, will need to have some expansion, and that's an industry-wide standard.
A lot of do-it-yourselfers discovered you don't lay it up tight.
That's one when you don't want it good and snug, because it will, it'll come back and bite you.
You want to leave that little gap between the floor, the wall and the start of the flooring. And so that's where in your little piece of base molding or quarter mold or new base altogether is required.
Correct.
Kind of covers that gap.
And a quarter inch is the very minimum you need to plan on for that on all sides of the room.
Okay. So we have the $15 square foot site finish. We were talking about historically that has been red oak. I don't see much oak going in as I used to, for sure.
Correct.
What are you seeing now?
A lot of it is hickory. We are
Hickory's
big fans.
A good looking wood.
It is.
That is a
it is
good
very attractive
wood.
And it is also a good value. It's also very durable. It actually has a higher density and higher durability rating than red oaks and some of the maples and things like that.
So you've got the $15 a square foot conventional sand and finish. Then you've got the $4 or $5 a square foot laminate. And then right smack dab in the middle
is the best value, which is engineered woods, which start at roughly $7 a square foot for material, glue, and installation, upwards of $11 to $11.50 a square foot.
Now, why was it conceived?
Well, partially because in Arizona, we deal with the moisture issue and then a concrete slab, where back east, you've usually got a basement where you can nail your flooring directly into those subfloors. But the other issue is that it's more dimensionally stable with a engineered wood. If you look at the side view of an engineered wood, it looks like plywood. And so the core, sometimes there's 5 to 7 layers of material. And the top layer, what we call the meat of the wood, is usually, as you said, hickory, oak, maple, birch, alder, ash. And that top product usually is no less than 2 millimeters thick, sometimes 4, even 5 millimeters thick. And if it's done right, the best finishes will give you a minimum of a 25-year wear guarantee.
Holy cow.
And it is very, very durable. I've had to have my installer sand a few of those, and they wear out sandpaper, and I thought they were eating sandpaper for lunch because it kept going and going and hours of time, but it is very durable. Aluminum oxide is the finish you need to ask for on these engineered wood floors. The only downside is on the real wood we talked about, the solids, you can't put aluminum oxide on that out of a can yet. It's just still at the factory level where they
bake it.
UV lights and 6 coats of it, that sort of thing.
Okay, well, then I want to continue the conversation. I want to get into some of the exotic woods, too. I want to get into bamboo, and I want to get into cork. But before I do, we do have a call that's specifically asking about stabilization of wood, thermally dimensionally stable.
And as we bring in Pete, a quick question. Michelle had wrote in, and you were talking about mills earlier, 8 mil. What best bang for its buck? What mill thickness do you like to see?
Minimum of 2 millimeter, 3 and 4 is a better value overall.
On the pad?
Oh, on pad, I'm sorry. No, 3 millimeter is plenty.
Okay.
On a closed cell urethane.
And then on the floor itself, you're a 6.
No, top wear layer, 3 to 4 millimeters of the top wood meat, that's all you need.
Okay, good.
Peter in Glendale, good morning. You got in by dialing 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Go ahead with your question, sir.
I've heard that it's best to install a humidifier when you install real wood flooring.
Yes, sir. That is a fact. And the challenge in Arizona is most people moved away from humidity for a good reason. It's because they don't like showering 3 times a day.
Right.
I lived in Washington, D.C. for 2 years, and that was plenty for me. So I've been a desert rat ever since. But, yes, you absolutely should maintain a what's called a controlled environment. And you can put a in-room humidifier in. And if you want to get more involved, you can actually have your air conditioning contractor install an inline humidifier that's regulated and controlled, and you don't have to keep adding water to it.
What percent of humidity are we looking to achieve here?
Usually the minimum's high 20s, low 30s percentage, which is a little moister than most people like.
Yeah, it is. And then your air conditioning unit is constantly robbing that internal humidity, because the way an air conditioner works, it takes humidity out of the air. So your air conditioner's working against you there for a little while.
It is.
But for the beauty of wood floor, and how critical is that as you move into the engineered and the laminate? A whole lot less, isn't it?
I can tell you, after 29 years of this, that I've only met a handful of people who have put a humidifier in that put a substantial amount of moisture in their house for long term. The dimensional stability of an engineered wood floor is really a good value, and it'll take a lot more extremes than the solid woods did. My brother, for example, has a big house in Higley that he has a evaporative cooler that he runs through June, July, August until it gets muggy, and then he switches over to air conditioning. And so that's probably the most extreme, and he's got an engineered wood floor.
And it's taken that well.
It's fairly new, but it's we gave him the caveats of, hey, this is something we don't recommend when you're going from extremes of high humidity to real, real dry. But engineered wood will take a good amount of abuse. It really will.
Now, that's one of the ways you can tell if you've selected the right wood flooring contractor. He's going to ask you to climatize the wood in your house for a certain amount of time.
Correct.
It doesn't climatize in your warehouse. It doesn't climatize in your garage.
Right. A minimum of 2 days on site, and some of the solid woods go up to two weeks.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's fun, living in a home of wood piled everywhere for 2 weeks, isn't it?
Von Payne of East Valley Floors here joining us at Rosie on the House, answering y'all's questions about flooring. We'll take any question at 1-888-767-4348. When we get back, I want to talk about exotic woods, bamboo, cork, and more.